History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Claire Steele, who is the CEO of Compassion Australia. We're going to hear a bit of her story and a bit of what Compassion is doing around the world. But let's begin with the start of your story, Claire. Welcome along. Tell us about where were you born and raised?
Thanks, Matt. It's lovely to be with you today. I was born in Sydney but raised in the Blue Mountains. I grew up in the same house until I was 21 in a town called Wimmerley, and we backed onto the bush. So my childhood was spent jumping the fence and spending time in the bush trying to get away from the snakes, and a bit of a neighbourhood gang down there.
Oh, very cool. Wonderful. I've been to the Blue Mountains a number of times. I remember visiting Lura up there thinking, I want to move there. I want to retire there one day. Absolutely gorgeous. So tell us a bit about your family upbringing. Did you have like a religious upbringing at all?
No, I had a very nominal Catholic upbringing. We went to Catholic schools during primary school, and Dad would religiously take us to Mass on Christmas and Easter. We were that family that would sneak in a little bit late, sit up the back and be the first ones out the door. But we did religiously go Easter and Christmas.
Okay, there you go. So you've got a bit of a background there. Tell us a bit about your conversion story. Was there like a moment when it all changed, or was it a gradual thing for you?
I feel like there was both a moment and a gradual thing. So I had a number of Christian friends throughout school and high school, and I attended a Uniting Church youth group in my later years at high school. But for me, I never really understood the gospel, and it was a very emotional response that my friends would describe. And I'm an engineer by trade, and so for me, I wanted a bit more of a logical response and a logical explanation. And so when I went to New South Wales Uni, it was the first time I heard, I guess, a full presentation of the gospel. And God works in mysterious ways, as we know, because I was studying engineering, so there's a lot of hours. And on Wednesdays, we had a whole 9 hours of lectures with just 1 hour of break. But my friend Sally, who actually I'm not in contact anymore, and I wish I was, she somehow convinced me to go to the Christian group on campus for that 1 hour I had on that Wednesday. And there I heard how much God loves us, but also how the whole world and the history of the world really has been culminating in God's story and in his final redemption of creation when Jesus returns. And that just changed me. I understood how he has been bringing a people of God to him to really be his children and his church. And yeah, it was from that moment on that I accepted Christ. And so I don't have a moment, and I'm sure it was gradual, but hearing that gospel for the first time was really significant for me.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. And, you know, I've been involved in a number of university ministries over the years, and it's a great witness on uni campuses. What was the name of the group that you went to?
It was Campus Ministry.
Uh-huh.
So Campus Bible Ministry, CBM at New South Wales Uni.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So good. And tell us a bit about your church experience after that. Obviously, you'd been to a Uniting Church youth group. You knew a bit about church, but what was it like when you finally joined a church? Yeah. Where were you involved?
Yeah, so I continued going to the Uniting Church in my local area, in Wimmerley and Springwood. But then I moved down to university and I started going to university church there on Sundays, which was wonderful, lots of people my age. But then I went to a little small Anglican church in Kingswood, actually, because they needed some people to teach Sunday school. And so I helped out there. And it was the first time that I had a multi-generational community that really cared for me and loved me, and helped me understand what church looks like, but also what life as a Christian looks like in all different generations. And so it was an absolutely beautiful time for me just to be ministered to by that community while I was able to serve them as well. So it was my first real taste, I think, of a local church.
How did your family react when you came to Christ? Did they all kind of say, oh no, she's joined a cult, she's gone weird, or, you know, did they all get saved as well? What was your family story?
Yeah, so my family still aren't Christians, and I'm now married to Matt, who was an Anglican minister until I took on this role. And so I think we're just a bit of the odd part of the family. They don't quite understand. And Matt being a minister, there's a bit of oddity there as well. So it wasn't you joined a cult, but there really is a lack of understanding that the significance we feel that Christ makes in our lives.
And tell us a bit more about your career. What did you do after uni?
Yeah, so I studied mechatronic engineering, so robotics, and sadly I've never built a robot. I'm hoping for that one day. But I went to work for Accenture, which is a management consulting firm, and then worked for Macquarie Bank for a number of years. But I got to the point there where I was tired. They're long hours, they're high-pressured workplaces, and I just got to the point where I couldn't see how this ended. It felt that if I got to be 60, I would have made a lot of money and I would have made a lot of people richer, but I hadn't really achieved what I would want with my life or what I feel God was calling. So I left Macquarie and then was offered a role as a kids minister at an Anglican church in the Inner West. And so I worked there for a year, and then my husband, Matt, had been studying at Sydney Missionary and Bible College, finished. And so they offered us a job share role as youth and children's workers. And we did that for about 5 years until he returned to become an ordained minister. So that was a very big shift, two very big shifts. And then from there, I then went and ran a number of preschools throughout New South Wales. And again, that focus on children and just seeing that the first years of their lives are so significant in how they flourish and how they come to know who they are and their relationship with God. And that was just a joy for me to be able to be part of that community that helps them develop. And from there, I then worked in some not-for-profits in operations roles. And then last year, became the CEO of Compassion, which is a story in itself, how that unfolded.
Let's jump forward to that because, you know, I'm a big fan of Compassion, and I'm actually mentored by Tim Hanna, who is the former CEO of Compassion, a good friend of mine. And I've been watching Compassion over the years. And, you know, I particularly love the Colin Buchanan songs that he does for Compassion. He's such a great guy, isn't he, hey?
He is, and I was sharing with you before we came on air that he is part of our story. So about 3 years ago, so we were ministers at a church in Five Dock in the west of Sydney, and Compassion approached my husband Matt and said, would you like to go on a vision trip with pastors to the field? And I actually remember the day because I got an email at work, and he's like, oh, I got offered this, but it doesn't really seem relevant to my ministry. I don't think I'll worry about going. And I just wrote back in the midst of a busy morning, oh, maybe we should at least consider it and pray about it. Let's talk tonight. So anyway, he decided in the end that actually our lives in Five Dock, we really didn't take many risks. We were working hard, church was growing, and we didn't take risks with what God might call us to do. So he went, and this is how Colin Buchanan enters the story, because he went with Colin Buchanan to the Philippines and just loved spending the time seeing poverty. With Colin, they sung and danced and did actions across the Philippines. But for me, the story was I was journeying through the sort of his eyes on the phone. Mm. So I was experiencing poverty for the first time on the phone. And that's a really weird way to experience it, because you can have no physical connection and you really feel a bit useless, because I could hear Matt really, his heart breaking and just feeling unable to know how to respond to what he was seeing, children with no hope, children destitute. And it was a really hard week for me, actually, and for him, because the question kept coming, well, what does that mean for our lives? If this exists, what does that mean? And it turned around for Matt when he met a young man in the Philippines. He was 21. He'd been a Compassion child, and he'd done an IT degree. And the similarities between him and me in our career path were extraordinary. He'd finished an IT degree and then he'd worked for Accenture, the same firm that I'd worked for, and was doing the same work that I'd done, the exact same work. But every night he would go home to a house that was 2 metres by 2 metres where he lived with his mother. And Matt just said to him, he said, I don't get this. Like, you're earning quite a lot of money. You're working for a very prestigious firm who deal in a lot of money. How do you survive? And a young man just said to him, I do what I'm called to do. And at the moment, I'm called to support my mum and provide for her and serve at my local Compassion project. And that's what I think I need to do today. And so he just said to Matt, so what can you do? that God has particularly given you the ability to do now? And for us, that answer was to help our church understand the problem of poverty and how they can respond. And so that's what we did. And that's what we thought we would be doing. That's what we thought our role for Compassion was. I got the great privilege of going to the Philippines a year later, and same process, heartbreaking and crying out to God, what do you ask of us? And again, we just thought the answer was go back and raise up a church that cares for those in need. Until Tim Hanna, who is your wonderful mentor, sent around his retirement video. And we saw that, and I went home and said, Matt, we need to pray about this. This is huge. This is an organisation we care deeply about. We want to see do more good work. We should pray. And I just walked in the door. I still was in my bike helmet because I ride to work. And Matt just looked at me and he said, no, I think you should apply for the job. So I was like, oh, no, I don't think so. especially because for us, that would mean leaving his role as a church minister where we'd been for 10 years, moving our children, moving our family. And I just thought, wow, that role's massive. Can I handle it? But we went through the process of many interviews, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking to family and friends, and amazing joy that the board offered me the great privilege to lead this organisation. So that's the story which Colin started it and is still involved, and we still love his song. But I think really we have felt God's call that at the moment the way our family can serve is through this role.
Well, it's a great story of transition with you taking on the role. And I think of that quote, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And, you know, you thought, oh, how could I ever do that? But, you know, God equips you for that role when you step up to it. He graces you for that role. And it's been so good to hear your story. Now, before we wrap it up today, you know, people might be thinking, I want to get more involved with Compassion. What can I do? Yep. Give us the rundown. How can people partner with Compassion?
The first thing I would say is go onto our website, which is compassion.com.au, and just understand what we do and understand the stories and understand the world that the children we serve live in. Because even if that's all you do, I think you will be greatly encouraged by the work God's doing around the world, working through 8,000 local churches. And for me, just hearing those stories begins to transform my own heart. So I'd say go and read and understand and really get to know some of these children we serve. And then if you feel like there is more you could do, we'd love you to pray for our work. And then if there's even more, we'd love you to consider to sponsor a child or support one of our projects in the field. You can find all the details on compassion.com.au. And you can also follow us on social media and see some of the stories of churches. They just are extraordinary, the churches we work through, and even more so over the last few years with COVID. They've just done things that we could never imagine were possible.
Well, it's inspirational. And, you know, I've got a number of friends with Compassion Kids. I think I've got one friend that's got like 15 Compassion Kids, and like he's a painter, you know, like he's not rich, but he and his wife just decided we're all in for this. We want to sponsor a whole, you know, a whole bunch, and they get their letters and they have their photos on their fridge, and it's such a beautiful thing. You know, I just want to encourage you. What you guys are doing really is making a difference in kids' lives. And for those who don't know too, how many nations does the Australian Compassion Office, how many nations do you have sponsored children represented in?
We have 25. Mm-hmm. And because we're a global organisation, currently it's 2 million children.
Wow.
Which just blows my mind. And in Australia, it's 125,000 children supported by Australians.
Mm. I love hearing the stories of how these sponsor kids then end up being doctors, lawyers, pastors, missionaries. There's probably some presidents and prime ministers in there. Is there any that you've heard of?
Not yet, but we're praying for that.
Well, once again, people can search up Compassion on social media or go to the website, search up Compassion Australia. You can find all the links there. It's been so good to hear your story today, Claire. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Matt.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.